My name's Ed Piskor.
I'm Jim Rugg.
And today we're finally going to do it. We've been threatening it for quite a while. We're going to do a duotone art demo. But first, what do you have, Jimmy?
I have patreon.com/JimRugg. And I'm showing these off. Street Angel's Dog, the free comic book day image book from a couple years ago, as well as my very first image story version. Two different versions. I enjoyed our Conan comparison videos, yeah. So I decided I was going to put these up on my Patreon and kind of go through a comparison of this, because it's the first story I did for Image, and then I redid it. It's my last story that I did for Image in this run of Street Angel Deadliest Girl Alive, and I enjoy those comparisons, so I'm going to go through and kind of point out the differences. Some are very similar, just a little difference in style and tools. Some of it's completely redone, so kind of a page-by-page pretty much what we do in those comparison videos whenever we come across one. And you can find that at patreon.com/JimRugg.
Red Room issue 1 is going to be hitting the streets in May. And it's a monthly comic. Every issue is going to be self-contained too. So just grab an issue and you'll get a complete story. Pre-order Red Room issue number 1 through Fantagraphics. Thousands of people have done so already, to my amazement, astonishment, and great thanks. If you want to read these issues before you grab the paper edition, you can hit up the Patreon, patreon.com/EdPiskor. $3 gets you the complete archive. I put new pages up every Tuesday, and there are 2 issues up there right now as of this recording. But once again, thanks everybody who's been pre-ordering the Red Room comics. And the art style of Red Room is indicative of those 90s kind of outlaw comics that would use this arcane and long extinct art process of duo shade art boards. It's a very thick, very good quality Bristol. Like, it was a pleasure to ink on.
And yeah, you can see here 3-ply Bristol, which is pretty standard, kind of that medium weight. I think you can get Bristol a little bit lighter, a little bit thicker, but this, I found it good to ink on.
Yeah.
That's the stage we're at this so far, because I've never used this before.
Yes. So we found a small trove. Got to give shouts to Eric Reynolds, who sent one of these packs to the kayfabe offices, along with his chemical developers. And you apply these chemicals to the paper, and it'll bring out these various shades depending on what number board you have. So like the light developer will give you one set of those lines, the dark developer will develop both sets of these pre-printed blue lines. They'll materialize on the page and add gray value to,
like,
the
magic
thing.
They're just gonna appear.
Jimmy, you never used this,
I'm
stuff
psyched,
before,
man.
These are full pages that I developed for use digitally forever. And you could see how kind of uneven and corrosive, and you know, this ain't a bad one, but it's a
very,
it's a weird,
non-archival.
Yeah, that's for sure. You can make perfect parallel lines digitally, but that doesn't fit. That's not Outlaw Comics. You need brush strokes and you need the unevenness. So it was super cool to get a hold of a complete sheets of this and just develop it all, scan it in, so that I could do hundreds, thousands of pages, infinite pages of comics. We got the Raphael brush.
It's such a good brush. I was trying to figure out what to bring over, and I completely forgot, so it's up to you. But I was not planning on bringing a Raphael brush. I would have done some shitty nylon brush.
I'm going to go get a shitty nylon brush.
I assume these chemicals can't be good for it.
You know what? This is because you see the tape right here? This is an older Raphael brush that isn't one of my main go-tos. So we'll use that one. And I think it'll be just fine. So Jimmy, we're going to tap out, and you're going to jump in the wings, man, and steer the ship.
Give me the hot tag. This is exciting stuff. So I guess I'll start with the lighter tone. You can see there's dark tone, light tone. I assume you go lighter, because, I don't know, caution.
Have
maybe if you can even open these.
Have fun.
We should have kayfabe opened these before we got on camera, Ed. Holy cow, talk about the corrosion.
Yeah, this one is able to open.
Maybe that's the one I'll start with then. And we have heard stories about these things. You talked about they go bad, they crystallize.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can see some of that crystallization forming on there. So I think it's still probably good, hopefully. It's still liquid.
Yeah.
All right, start in a corner somewhere, right?
Yeah, make sure
test it out.
People are gonna flip. You're gonna like look at that. How cool is that, right?
Load up my brush. Yeah, it's real strange. It kind of it takes a second to appear.
Yeah, but then it's like magic ink or invisible.
It is. It's exactly. I wonder if the chemicals are similar. I used to have those things as a kid. You would get them in like a dollar store. They come with maybe a marker or something, and whenever you'd rub it over, it would reveal something. And this feels very similar.
And you see, you get those brush strokes in there.
Yeah, it's neat to see how that you could draw a lot with this. You could feather.
Yeah.
I've probably gone too simple in my design because I don't really have anything quite like that, but I do have her hair, so maybe I'll do some stuff in there.
Yeah, because I think you might be using just the dark. I can't get this thing open either.
Do you still have any of those chemicals?
I do.
Man, it darkens up real fast. That's neat. That's really cool. Is it showing up on screen well?
Yeah, it looks great.
I love how you can actually do some feathering with it. You know, you could do very sharp lines if you tried.
When we look at those Michael Zulli Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, he's spattering with the duotone chemicals.
Yeah, that's now, really interesting.
Now, we've heard bad things, and we've also propagated bad information. Like, we propagated the hazardousness of these chemicals. As far as I know, it's all anecdotal. Like, I was doing some research and I didn't find one article or anything anywhere that said that these materials are carcinogenic, which is something that we might even get comments about from us, from some of the old timers. Oh, you get cancer. So if you find this stuff, use at your own risk, but it could just be an urban legend.
Yeah, I was picturing gas masks, like Breaking Bad kind of serious filter. If you're cooking meth or you're using Duo Shade.
It's one of those things like we have over, you know, hundreds of thousands of years, tens of thousands of years, these built-in instincts of like, you have a severe smell, go away from that. And this one in particular, the dark developer, which is what you're using right now, if you want to pull the cam down at that. This is the one that stinks the worst.
I am not noticing too much of a smell yet.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of close. You know, it's a little bit underneath my nose. Yeah, if it's bad to be inhaling it, I suppose I'm doing some damage. Yeah, wow. This is neat stuff. I can see how you could really enjoy drawing with this.
Yeah.
And doing more. You know, once you start using it, I'm sure you start thinking of different ideas of... Because I was trying to figure out whenever I came up with this image of stuff... You know, where I could apply this. I thought about, do the swords cast a shadow on the lettering? Like, is that part of the wall behind her?
You could do some cool, like, blade shadows of just, like, hatch lines or, you know, feathered lines.
And we did a video showing off some examples of this stuff. And the one that everybody mentioned that we forgot is the first Alien series by Dark Horse, which is a really good example of this. Well, but if you start looking and you find, you know, you find comics that use this... There's tons of creative stuff that people are doing. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, obviously, you know, the big one in my mind, but you can see them doing all kinds of hatching and dabbing of edges and feathers and stuff for this.
Yeah, yeah. At the end screen of this video, there will be a link to a duotone overview that we've done and a couple of other videos to kind of show off this technique. As of this recording, last week, we posted a video about duotone and showed off examples, and so many people were like, thank you so much, had no idea how that was ever achieved. I always thought it was like a screen, and it's so cool to finally know what the heck it was.
Yeah, we've had that conversation, especially whenever I was younger, I would see those comics and just have no clue. Yeah, it's funny, all of these archaic kind of tools that just... You know, if you're 25 making comics, you're like, what the hell is that?
Right.
And you're probably right, you know. This was also expensive.
Yes.
I noticed the stuff that the envelope that I pulled this out of had a price tag on it. You get four sheets this size. This is about
8.5 by 11, yeah. Almost exactly.
And it was $10 was the price tag on it for four sheets of this, you know, half comic book page size.
Yeah, a very little company out of Cleveland, Ohio made this stuff. can't imagine, well, for a time, I would say almost every editorial cartoonist, but then think about, what does that mean? You know, a couple hundred guys, maybe, were using this stuff in our lifetime. Hard to sustain, and they did away with it. You know, you could order the stuff up to the mid-2000s, and that was still a period where, you know, the subprime mortgage, you know, the bubble that happened in 2000, we had no money, couldn't buy these pages and without having sticker shock or being
I wonder if nervous. This was used in other industries like drafting or something.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah, you're hard-pressed if your art supply is only used in comics. I think you're hard-pressed to sell enough of it to make that work, especially these days.
Buy your Ames guides now.
Yeah, by all means. Putting in all the mortar.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, I'm bummed if we can't get a light version to work. You know, I had the bricks laid out.
Yeah.
I was trying to figure out, like, where do you put it? But
let me try to get this, man. Because these liquids are as rare as, like, gasoline in a Mad Max flick and stuff. So we got to try to make it all work.
This is kind of neat. You can see this is where I started my sample, and it's a darker spot there. But also the inconsistency of, I don't know if it's the chemicals on the paper or the chemicals I'm putting down if they're not as thick. But some of the pages that were exposed that Ed showed in the beginning, and you could see a very uneven coverage. I'm starting to see it now in these places where there's a lot of the chemical exposure and yet very uneven in how those lines are showing up. I'll scan this, you know, whenever I get home, which will give another indicator of how does this look in black and white.
Yeah.
When we were digging through the, you know, like try to find sample comics, one of the things that stood out to me was it almost looked like it was like fake, like digital.
Yeah.
Because in print, it really is sharp. When you see the artist edition of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, it's all these browns and everything, brush strokes are visible. But in print, it's just like very hard black and white. Did you get it?
No, that's mine. You could use it.
Oh, cool. All right. So we have some light chemical. I'm going to switch to that. Quick dip in the water for the brush.
Yeah, get the dark developer out of there. Because if there's any on that brush, man, it's going to develop.
Leave that for you.
So I imagine that this is a... kind of, you don't have any specific plans for this image, but if it turns out, like, will you use it somehow?
If I can think of something fun to do with it, I will. But I don't have anything specific. I was just trying to think of something that would look good and give me some, you know, some different textures and things to do. So you can see I'm doing some of the lighter stuff in the hair. So her hair would end up having white highlights, light screen highlights, and then the dark screen highlights. If this all works, it's interesting that the light exposure looks pretty dark to my eye. So I don't know how light it looks on screen. And again, I will scan this and I'll send it to you, Ed, so we can put it, you know, put like the finished piece on the video.
Yeah.
Because I have a feeling that lighter, it'll look very different if you scan it and it's black and white.
Yeah.
All right. Gonna get into her face a little bit here with this stuff.
Yeah, this is where the magic happens, man.
Yeah, it's
brings
really
some life
neat.
Into her face.
A little bit of the I'm going full on image shadows, right? The face.
Oh yeah, the little brow, the bridge.
Yeah, and you can see the feathering there showing up, you know, like the uneven top part.
Yeah, the other piece that you could do is like hit it with some white and like cut even more hatching and stuff into it.
I thought about bringing white, and then it was like, well, how much are we gonna, how much drawing are we doing here?
Let's have fun.
I love trying different materials. For people at home who are into drawing, you probably feel the same way. It's just very fun to experiment with this kind of stuff.
I love it, man. I come back from getting those tools and she's got a great face. It's fun to play with.
Yeah, it's really neat. It's so strange. It does feel like a kid's toy.
Right.
Minus the cancer-causing part.
Allegedly.
Yeah, right. Don't want to slander them.
But I'm trying to get them to make it
That's
again.
That's what I was going to say. Like, we want to encourage them to come back in business.
Yeah. Even a Kickstarter. Like, corporations are doing Kickstarters and stuff, man. Let's Kickstart some fucking Duotone and let me and Jimmy be the sponsors of that stuff. give us,
you know, give us a big clip of this paper and chemicals, and we'll be off and running.
Yeah, we'll sell them for you.
It'd be amazing to do a whole issue, like to have a stack of this paper and do like a whole issue. This would be really incredible.
I mean, I'm addicted to it. You know, I'm.
It's five, really fun to see.
I'm five issues deep, with my templates and stuff, and it's indistinguishable. Like it's duotone. It's just I had to do it digitally, but I would love to have the original boards like this.
Yeah, I love working on paper. I do, you know, I do like everybody else. There's a lot of digital in the process, but it's so much fun to actually get away from the screen and just work on the board. I'll try to do a little highlight on the bricks. This stuff is awesome.
Yeah.
And I guess pretty difficult to come by. Have you bought any off of eBay or anywhere like that?
No.
I haven't even searched for it on eBay. I have no idea if that's a...
It doesn't come up. The graphics company does industrial plastics now. And one of the things that I bought from them very recently was a Friskit film. Because when you make a splatterpunk comic, you gotta have splatter.
Gotta have splatter.
And you don't want splatter going everywhere. I like the highlight at the top of those bricks, man. That's real smart.
Yeah, this stuff's pretty easy and quick to use too.
Yeah,
it's very forgiving once you get that line on. I wasn't sure about my ink either, if it was going to be how it would respond, like if this stuff would lift it up or anything to it.
When you erase on this, there's whatever the medium is that prints these dots, or I mean these lines. It's kind of like waxy or plasticky feeling, right? And when you run an eraser on top of it, it lifts the ink right off. The other thing is, you can't fuck up when you ink this stuff. You can't put whiteout down and then develop lines like the whiteout is covering it. So you have to be able to live with the inks that you put down. So that's just like another kind of nerve-wracking extra piece to this puzzle.
Yeah, I mean, there's a fair amount of media that's like that. Whenever I do those ballpoint pen drawings, it's the same deal. Like, you don't get to fix them.
Right.
If something goes wrong, that's the drawing. Watercolor's a little bit that way, although there's some stuff you can do to lift watercolor a little bit. But, I mean, that's another one where, like, you can't add to it to fix a problem.
That whole medium is about accidents, though. It's, like, so different than inking. It's, like, you just, like, move pigment around and then watch things happen.
Yeah, that's very true. I kind of like media that's like that, but maybe when other people use it.
Sure.
Like with Bill Sienkiewicz, you can always see those kinds of organic qualities in his stuff.
Yeah, just watch him. He does a lot of demo videos on YouTube, visiting different schools and stuff. And there's always that point where you watch him and you're like, well, what the fuck are you going to do with that? And then 5 minutes later, it's just like beautiful, perfect painting.
Oh, man, this makes me want to do some more black and white Street Angel.
Yeah.
Like a real 80s kind of black and white Tim Truman kind of adventure story with her.
I'm into it, man. Like
the texture is incredible. It's so rich. That's another thing that's really gone away with digital is you have to kind of work to get some texture to show up in a digital image because it's so perfect. You know, it's almost like plastic.
Yeah.
This stuff is just rich with texture. You know, it's a little bit uneven.
Yes.
You know, especially in the original art form. I'm curious to scan this and see what it looks like. Not even just cleaned up, but just like, how does this translate to a black and white scan?
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's exactly why I developed that whole sheet of tones rather than just do like an 8-page comic or a 6-page comic and have the tones on there.
Dude,
great, right?
That's really fun, man. That's really fun. Wow. You know what? Look, I smudged something on there, but I was going to do a little highlight.
Yeah,
like
it's the lines in the blades,
some
man.
Reflection stuff on there. Yeah, you can see kind of like whenever you do a line, you know, like you're inking or something. So neat.
Yeah, and then you think about those Roy Cranes where he's drawing backgrounds, buildings and stuff in the duotone.
Yeah. Real fun, Ed.
Yeah, it's so
sick.
This
is a good idea. And Eric Reynolds, man, thanks again for sending this.
Yeah, and I'm going to thank Greg Benton for sending the chemicals that I have. Hooked me up with those some years back.
I was also wondering, and maybe I'll try it on her shirt, if you were going to do light and dark,
You can do it.
Can you cover the light and then go in and say, oh, I'll make this full dark?
Yeah.
Try a piece of that on there, and then getting close to done on this piece, I think. Now I'm on the,
good, Jimmy?
I'm on the search for more of this stuff now, Ed.
Oh, I know. I've always been homeboy Adam Riches, who's a kayfaber out there, probably watching this video because I know he's down with Duotone. He does design work for WWE.
Okay, cool.
Action figure designs, all kinds of stuff. He just bought, he hit me up and was asking me about Duotone because he saw a chunk of them on eBay. 8 sheets and some half of a canister of chemical, 300 something bucks. And he did end up buying it. I think he said he talked to IDW and was like, if I buy this, will you let me do an 8-pager or something? They were like, yeah.
Yeah, of course. Why not?
All right. Put the lid on that chemical, man. Tighten that shit.
You know what? One more bit. I'm going to do a little bit in her eyeballs. You know, you see like the shaded eyes?
Yeah.
We'll see just a little bit of shadow from the top of the eye. This stuff's great. Yeah. I could monkey around with this like all day.
Yeah. Are you going to hit it with some of the dark?
Yeah, I am going to try that just to see how it reacts. I mean, this is obviously experimenting. I have no real plans for this thing, so it really is like, what can I see?
Yeah.
And it's funny to have like the mess up on the blade where in real life, you know, if this were going to see print, I'd probably fix that digitally.
Well, I mean, you can fix that and just hit it with the white out if you like.
Just a cup of water that I'll dip the brush in here to
hopefully
get that off of there.
Yeah, it matters less with when it goes from light to dark because it doesn't matter.
All right, so load it up with the dark and let's see how it goes. See, this is that thing. I can see that the other lines are exposing, but they're not as dark on the board. You know, like the dark parts are not, it doesn't feel as accented. You know, like whenever you see it in print and it's hard black and white, like a second set of black and white lines, I think it shows off much more clearly. And like I said, I'm curious to see how this one's going to translate to that kind of hard black and white.
What's the number of your board?
It says 224.
Let me take a look and see how it should show up. Because sometimes, let me get on the mic. Because sometimes the two tones aren't that different from one another. And those are actually the ones that almost nobody uses. So we'll see.
I think this is different, though. You can see some of that second line, especially in the bricks behind her. It's the brown and the orange that is coming through a lot for me visually, so that's part of why I can't see it quite as strong. But we will see. And I could be noodling with this stuff forever, so
yeah.
I may wrap up at this point. Very fun to do. Give her a little extra shadow under the nose, right? That would be a place where you'd see a little more shadow. And maybe a little bit just under the eyebrows. Wow.
Great.
Ed, I love this.
Great piece, man.
I could do this for a long time.
Yeah.
I think that's where I'm going to call it for now. But man, good idea, good stuff. Very fun. Pretty cool. Makes me think of like The Crow and how much stuff you would add. Because I look at this and I think, ooh, you know, you could put a screen on this spot. Or as you know, we talk about putting white on it. That'd be a real easy thing to go back in and play with some whites and stuff. But there you go. That's my first. Oh, one more piece.
Yeah.
Give her sword piece a little shadow there on the hilt. I think that'll look pretty good. All right, now I really am done. Very fun. Good stuff.
Yeah, turned out great too. Really fun watching.
So glad I got a chance to play with that.
What do you say, Jim? We need to get the graphics company to bring this stuff back.
Yeah, with good paper, new paper, ready to take these chemicals. Maybe even a less toxic version of the chemicals.
Yeah, cool. Kayfabers, like, follow, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Hit the bell. We'll notify you when new vids are available.
You can find more of my work at patreon.com/JimRug, where I post original art, process stuff behind the scenes, and currently compare and contrast between my alpha and omega of my Image Street Angel Comics run. So patreon.com/JimRug.
Red Room issue 1 is going to be in stores in May. You could pre-order it right at this moment. Your stores can start ordering it at the end of February. Thousands of them have been reserved at this moment. Thousands more would be nice. 10,000 pre-orders, that sounds like a nice number. You can read all the comics at patreon.com/edpiskor. Two issues are up there right now. It's going to show up there before it hits the stands. And all those links are in my link tree below.
You can subscribe to the Cartoonist Kayfabe e-newsletter at the links below this video to keep up with everything we have going on. You can find Cartoonist Kayfabe merchandise and t-shirts at the links below this video as well.
We learned a valuable lesson that like 20 plus year old duotone paper might be neutered.
It's a crapshoot.
Give them more turn orders, Jimmy. We'll be out.
Make more comics.